These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Say that more slowly because I'm stupid.
Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
What's good, Gasper?
Nothing much. What's going on? How you doing, Jim? How you surviving this week?
Pretty good.
You look good. You look healthy and happy.
Thank you. It's been a little bit of a grind here, but I do have to ask you, do players throughout the league still want to come play for the Patriots? Because it feels like this team has lost a little bit of its luster here this offseason.
I think there are still guys that want to play for the Patriots, but I'm not sure the brand value, the brand equity, as Robert Kraft once put it to me at the owners' meetings in Dana Point, California in about 2009. You know, this was always part of their plan, that guys would take less to stay and that they would take less to come, that they wanted to play with Tom Brady and be coached by Bill Belichick and have a chance at a ring. It's something that they factored in for years. And it seems like maybe it doesn't have the same effectiveness, or it's not quite resonating the same way. But I also think you have to look at these cases individually with the guys on their team who left. And I think there were other factors besides, you know, the Patriot way brand not resonating as much. For example, with Deion Lewis, you don't think it played a part that he's had injuries over the years, there's guaranteed money, but also that at the beginning of the year, they basically were like, yeah, you're going to be fourth or fifth on the depth chart. You don't think there were some, you know, some, there would be some resentment over that, where it'd be like, I want to go somewhere where they see me for who I really am, not where they're like, hey, Mike Gillisley is going to get your snaps here because he's the new toy and Burkhead's the new toy. So, sorry.
Well, there was obviously frustration on his behalf throughout the season. He had said a couple of weeks ago that he didn't feel like he was used enough early, which I agree with completely.
He was right. He was completely correct.
And in the Super Bowl.
They mothballed him. You know, they had new toys to play with and they put those guys first. We all know the Butler situation. I don't have to talk about that. And Amendola, all the pay cuts he took. So I don't know if it's so much a referendum on the Patriot brand and not having that same brand equity as much as when you look at the situations those guys were in, that maybe the way they were treated here made it easier for them to walk away.
Do you think Brady wanted Amendola?
I do.
So why was Amendola willing to take pay cuts in the past but not now?
I'm not sure he felt like he had the same leverage he did. You know, I think there was a point in his career where he was sort of unwilling to leave for whatever reason. I don't know what it was. Maybe it was Brady, the friendship with Edelman. I think he's at a stage of his career where this is his last bite at the apple. He has two rings. He's taken all these pay cuts. It's like, hey, I'm going to go get paid. You know, this is my I'm coming off this great playoff run where people saw my potential value around the league. This is the money I'm going to get. It's probably the last contract I'll ever have. Take the money and run. I have two rings.
So these things are all a coincidence then?
No, Matt, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that I do think there is something to the idea of it not having the same effectiveness, but I also think you have to look at the situations individually and look at these guys having other issues with the team besides looking at it and saying, I'm out on the Patriot way. I think they each would have personal reasons, the three guys I met. Now, Solder's a different story, but the three guys I mentioned, I think you could each look at it and say, from a personal standpoint, you know what? I didn't love the way they treated me here. I don't think they fully valued me. I want to go somewhere where I'm valued.
See, Lewis, to me, I don't bat an eye over. I don't. Because the position, historically, they've shown they will rotate tires at that position like nobody's business. I mean, how many different guys have they played there? You know, Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, LeGarrette Blunt.
Yep.
Like they
Stephen Ridley.
Yeah, they don't value running backs.
That position's deep in the draft too, so they can address that. The Lewis thing.
They valued Rex Burkhead because they gave him some dough. There's some guaranteed dough in that contract.
Oh, but he's also key special teamer as well at times.
That's true.
But to me, I don't lament that one as much as I look at Amendola and Solder, and to a degree Butler, because honestly, Chris, those three guys I look at and I say, those three guys are Patriots. Like, Lewis is a...
But you knew Butler was gone. I mean, Butler, to me, why are we even talking about it? We all knew he was gone after the Super Bowl. He was not coming back.
Okay, but this goes back into last offseason now for me.
Okay.
That with Butler, you look at it and say they picked a fight there. Okay, and then, you know, it became personal in the Super Bowl, and we've seen those deteriorate before. But Amendola, he's a Brady guy. That's a guy who was in Montana with Brady chucking the ball around.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, gone. Solder has been a good Patriot. Now we can debate how good a Patriot, how good a player he is, and we can say, well, he's first of all, once you hit the market, you're going to get overpaid.
I agree.
Okay, that's a given.
Yes,
but he's a guy who had a lot of reasons to stay here.
Absolutely.
Drafted by the organization,
yeah.
Kept his mouth shut, did his job, yeah. Good professional, all of those things. He left too. Like, and I add this on top of all the stuff that happened at the end of the regular season, and it feels to me like we're in the past. Guys were willing to take less to stay or to come. They're not doing that now. And that, to me, is newsworthy.
Yeah, I don't disagree with what you're saying. I maybe just sort of disagree a little bit with the degree of it that you're ascribing to it. You know, I think, again, you know, let's see who ends up ultimately. Like, who hasn't come here as a free agent this year that would have come here? You know, from outside the market, I mean, that said, you know what? No, I'm going to go somewhere else and take, like, way more money. I don't want to play for the Patriots. Like, what is this guy we're talking about who normally would have come here that hasn't come here yet?
I mean, I don't know. Do you believe that Sherman wanted to play here or that Jordy Nelson targeted
the
Patriots?
They weren't interested in Sherman, and they didn't express any interest in Jordy Nelson, as far as I know.
Nelson I can live with, but the Sherman, that they never even made a phone call. That doesn't bug you?
No, they ended up with McCourty. I mean, you and I talked about this on our show, right? I didn't look at it and think, oh, man, number two cornerback's a big need for this team. I just didn't look. There's other areas. Like, for me, and I said this to you guys, too, I'm disappointed. Solder was the priority for me, and I'm still disappointed they didn't sign him. And I know the money got, you know, much more than they thought it would be. But my question is, I'd love to know what their final offer was to him. Because to me, if you're willing to pay the guy 13.5 or 14 a year, and I don't know that they were. I'm just saying hypothetically.
Well, when you were in the other day, Bedard said he had heard 12.
Yeah, 12. I mean, there's a difference between 12 and 15. But if you get to 13.5, 14, what's the difference? It's a four-year deal. Like, it's not that much money. You need the guy. What's if you think he's worth that much, if you start to think he's worth 13, like, that's what I was trying to ask Bedard, and Bedard and I were talking sort of off the air. Okay, was that a take-it-or-leave-it offer, or was that a starting point? Was this the Patriots saying at 12, that's the best we can do? Or is like, hey, 12, we know we have to be competitive, and then you negotiate from there. Like, once you get up to, like, 13, what's the difference? 13 to 15, you need the guy. Just pay. It's a four-year deal. It's not like it's a nine-year deal. Just do it.
Yeah,
bring the guy back.
I'm with you in that. I thought that was the second most important piece of business that they had to handle, with number one being Rob Gronkowski.
Sure.
He's still out there in the wind,
yeah.
Still tweeting away and sending not-so-coded messages to Danny Amendola on Instagram. So when you were here the other day, too, Greg Bedard says,
yep.
I've heard rumblings, Brady not in a rush to help the team in terms of his contract. Do you think that there's any possibility that Brady says, you know what, I am willing to work with you here. We can restructure, but that means Gronk has to be back in the fold. You're going to tear up that deal and give him the money that he thinks he's worth.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think these extensions, I think, are different, at least the way I look at them. I think Tom's extension is about security. You know, he wants the years. He wants to know he's under contract beyond 2019. You know, Gronk's situation, I think, is more about the money. It's about, give me what I'm worth and screw this stupid tight end pay scale. I don't care what Jordan Reed gets paid. I'm 5 times better than Jordan Reed, and I'm twice as good as a lot of these receivers. Like, look at the Sammy Watkins deal. Pay me what I'm worth as one of the most dynamic offensive players in the game. You know, I think that's what his situation is about. So, they're connected in that regard. I think Brady would certainly do something, you know, to try and help Gronk get paid, but I think Tom also wants that security of, okay, I'm under contract beyond, you know, 2019. I think that's what the extension was about.
Is he selfish to feel that way?
Brady?
Yeah.
I don't think so. No. I don't think he is. I mean, he wants to know that the coach can't just blow him out of here. I mean, that, you know, is part of the deal with Garoppolo, right? But I think, you know, he also wants to know that, okay, you guys are making this commitment to me, and I'm the guy, and it's not... Do you think at this stage of his career that Tom Brady wants to be year-to-year with the team? Like, I can see year-to-year on his own terms, but year-to-year with the team, whether you're coming back as the starting quarterback.
No.
Do you think he feels good about that?
No.
Of course not.
No, and I think if he used to look around and see the money that's being thrown around for some of these stiffs that are going to these teams, like, you know, Case Keenum getting the money that he's getting, and Sam Bradford getting $20 million for 1 year in Arizona, he's looking at 14. It's like, you know, no, I've done this enough. Like, I should get this money. But it is kind of telling that I think that he hasn't acquiesced and worked with the team because of some of the things going on behind the scenes, specifically between him and Belichick.
Yeah, I mean, just all that cryptic social media stuff. No, there's stuff going on. There's no question about it. I mean... There are definitely guys that are not buying in, that not drinking the Kool-Aid. You got some guys that right now are regurgitating the Kool-Aid. They're not interested in downing that stuff anymore for whatever reason. And let's see how it plays out. And they just happen to be two of your most prominent players. And what's connecting them? Alex Guerrero and his rubdowns in Brady's suite, you know? So
All right, we got Chris Gaspar of the Boston Globe. I know that you think that there was a shot maybe taken to Stephon Gilmore in the press conference yesterday.
Very subtle.
In Tennessee from Malcolm Butler, so we'll touch on that. And I also want to get your thoughts on the Celtics and this Marcus Smart surgery. Sounds like he's going to be out a while here and how that's going to affect them going forward. And, of course, we'll continue to take your phone calls here on Agenda Free Friday. It's Felger and Mass. It's 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Felger and Mass. The Sports Hub. This is Felger and Mass.
I'm a sports dork now.
That guy is a hack.
Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
I'm pretty sure everyone wants to know a question about Super Bowl 52. You know, like I said once before, it's just all coaching decision. And I never question anything Bill Belichick makes his decision on. Like I said, made a statement yesterday. I said he benched a four-year vet for a rookie. And, you know, that turned out right. And, you know, I'm just very grateful and thankful for the opportunity New England Patriots gave me. They grew me as a player and even more as a person. And, you know, I really appreciate it, the crafts, and I just really appreciate the organization.
Malcolm Butler taking the high road on the way out the door. He now a member of the Tennessee Titans. That was him from his introductory press conference in Tennessee yesterday. He gets 5 years, $61 million, $30 million in guarantees. Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub. And it's Big Jim Murray here in the A-hole chair alongside Mass and Chris Gaspar of the Boston Globe. And, Chris, there was something from this press conference that stood out to you. Here's that clip.
Me and Logan together, man. You know, I got the fast guy. He got the biggest guy. And we going to communicate when them bunches come up. You know, we just got great communication and great chemistry over the 3 years we played together. And he's a good friend of mine.
So that is Malcolm Butler talking about his seasons playing with Logan Ryan. Yes. What do you take from that, Chris?
When he talked about the communication when the bunches come up, do you think that I think that was a subtle shot at Gilmore. And the fact that early in the year they had issues with bunch formations and who was going to take whom and what were they going to do. And teams played that stuff against them basically all year long. I mean, the Eagles resurrected some of that stuff in the Super Bowl. Obviously, Malcolm didn't play a defensive snap there. But I thought that was a little bit of a subtle, we're going to have good communication. What is, with the Patriots secondary, guys, what do they talk about after every game? Communication.
Yep.
Devin talks about it. Daron Harmon talks about it. Malcolm would talk about it. Stephon Gilmore talked about earlier in the year when he was struggling with it. The idea, you know, we're going to have good communication. I think that's a little bit of a shot at Gilmore.
And now that I think of it, Butler didn't play in the Super Bowl and the communication wasn't great, right?
That's right.
It wasn't on him. I mean, I know early in the year there were a bunch of times where he was throwing his arms up looking at guys like, and it wasn't always Gilmore.
In the locker room after the Carolina game, he was definitely giving Gilmore the side eye because I was there. I'm telling you. So, I mean, look, maybe I'm reading too much into it. But the fact that the way he phrased that and he brought it up, just sort of out of the blue, he brought up bunch formations out of the blue, I think that was a little bit of a subtle shot.
Definitely. Definitely. I wouldn't bat an eye over that one, would you?
No, because I think this whole time he's always thought, that guy got my money.
Yeah.
I should still be the first cornerback.
That guy got my money, and he can't even execute the full catalog of coverages that we have. And you're making like these allowances for him. It's like, oh, yeah, just follow this guy around. Just play, you know, schoolyard man-to-man.
I like it. I like that you're reading too much into that, because this is all we have to do here, Gaspar. No, we're never going to find the answer as to why he was benched, other than the fact that he crossed Belichick, and that was it. Like, you know, were you surprised, though, with what he said? And a lot of what he said in this press conference yesterday was what he told Jeff Howe the day prior.
Yeah, good job, Jeff.
Were you a little bit surprised he took the high road the way he did?
Not really, because, I mean, now he got his money. So, I mean, how does it sort of behoove him to go back?
And, well, once you get that money, it's easier to burn that bridge.
That's true. I guess you could look at it that way. But it's like, you know, there's why go back? And so, and I also think, look, the team that he – do you think the Titans with Mike Vrabel and John Robinson are interested in embarrassing the Patriots?
No, but I did say – you know, I think I might have even said this with you and Bedard the other day. I think that those two – that team signed him with those two guys there and that Matt Patricia and the Detroit Lions were reportedly interested from Mike Giardi of NBC Sports Boston. I think that speaks volumes that Bill got it wrong. If these disciples of yours were interested and you end up with a team where, you know, maybe the most patriot of patriots under Belichick and Mike Vrabel is the coach there and he signs that guy that you benched in the Super Bowl, it's further proof you got it wrong, Bill.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting that I know you wanted Patricia, like you were all about that. Like that would have been the most interesting because the guy
forced him to answer that question.
Yes, the guy that had to defend that decision and say, "Oh, it was for football reasons." So for football reasons, you didn't play him in the biggest game of the year, but also for football reasons, you gave him $60 million. I mean, that's what would have been great if he signed with the Lions. We may never know now. I mean, I think you know Malcolm's taking the high road and. The Patriots, they're never going to say. It's really interesting. But I would look at it and say, if you're Malcolm Butler, you know maybe he'll say something like before because Tennessee's on the schedule this year.
Right.
But if you're him, why do you need to clear your name? Like, in other words, other teams will look at it and say, oh, this guy's bad-mouthing his former team and his former coach. It's going to reflect badly on you. You don't need to clear your name to get your money. You already got your money. So why go back to it?
He really did end up pretty much on his feet. For all the thoughts that he was going to get, you know, lampooned in the free agent market, it didn't happen. I mean, not really.
Oh,
anyway.
I saw the number. I was kind of shocked because it was a down year for him. I think he's better than what you saw last year.
Yeah, I didn't think he played that well.
He mentally wasn't right the whole season. But,
I mean, Gilmore was 5-65, right?
Yeah, and $40 million guaranteed.
So Gilmore got more guaranteed money, but this wasn't that far off.
No, it really wasn't. Pete in Delaware on the Patriots here next year on an Agenda Free Friday. Hey, Pete.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, as far as the photo one's the only one that bothers me. And the reason it bothers me is if you look at the top left tackles, what they're getting paid, Russell Okung and I forget the other one. Anyway, it's $13.2 million going into last year. New England knew they were going to have to pay somewhere in that area. And then his press conference today, he mentioned it came down to three teams that were paying equal money, and he went to the team he felt most comfortable. Which is telling me, obviously, he's comfortable in New England. New England wasn't even in the final bidding with the last three teams. So why were they so ill-prepared? They knew what they were going to have to pay. They didn't address it last year in the draft. Instead, they give away a first-round pick, which could have been Ryan Ramczyk for Brandon Cooks.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
And now they're left with middle left tackle, and you just don't find those guys on trees in the draft either.
But in fairness to them, you know, you're saying they didn't address it.
They did.
I mean, they drafted Tony Garcia. They drafted Connor McDermott from UCLA. They drafted two tackles. They did try. You can argue they should have addressed it higher, and that is a good point about Ramczyk. But they did try and plan for it.
McDermott was like the sixth round, though, wasn't
he? Yes,
okay, but Garcia was the third, and they knew he was going to be a little bit of a project. And then he had the blood clots, and so I'm stunned that they left themselves. After Garcia had the mishap, I'm stunned that they left themselves as vulnerable as they did. That's just, and I read the comment from Solder that the caller was talking about, and I read it the same way he did, that it was Cleveland, Houston.
And the Giants,
and that the Patriots weren't one of the three finalists.
Let's go to Danny and Quincy on the Patriots. Go ahead, Danny.
Murray, this is not what I called about, but the fact that Butler went to Tennessee doesn't prove Bill was wrong at all. How can you say that?
Because Mike Vrabel and John Robinson are there, and they're Patriots disciples?
All it proves is that a brand-new coach who's coaching a middle-of-the-road team got a cornerback in a league where cornerbacks are very few. That's all it proves.
But you don't think that either of those two guys called Bill to get a little bit of a background check on him after he was benched in Super Bowl 52? What do you think, though? What do you think?
Vrabel's trying to build a team.
Okay, Danny, so what about Patricia then, who was the defensive coordinator who executed the game plan in which he didn't play? Why was he interested in him?
Why wasn't he?
No, why was he? Because he was.
Oh, I just got through telling you, because cornerbacks are very hard to come. Established NFL quarterbacks are hard to come by.
But Danny, if Butler was a problem, then why would Patricia want him?
Well, what kind of a problem? We haven't determined that.
Okay,
yet.
But this is what Ben Murray is telling you, that this idea that Butler was some sort of a problem, we can throw that out the window now, can't we?
He wasn't a fit for the Patriots, Tony. So just Tony, before
why wasn't he a fit for the Patriots?
I'm sorry?
Oh, so Matt Patricia's going to invent a new defense in Detroit that he's never coached before.
But Belichick in his system, okay? That's it. That's all I can get. That's all I can answer, barring any other...
But what you're saying makes no sense, Danny, because Patricia is the defensive coordinator of the Patriots. So he says and follows Belichick's thing and says, in the biggest game of the year for the Patriots, to your point, this guy's... Hold on, I'm not done. I'm not done. This guy's not a fit for us in the biggest game of the year. But now on my new team, he's a fit for a five-year, $60 million contract. That makes no point. That makes no sense.
Why didn't Patricia break the bank for him then?
I... they were in on him. Maybe Tennessee gave him more money. Maybe he thought Tennessee was a better situation with Logan Ryan. But to just say Patricia just wants cornerbacks, there's much more nuance to the situation. That doesn't make any sense.
No, Mike Vrabel is a brand new coach. Patricia,
no, I understand that. But forget Mike Vrabel. The fact that Patricia was in on him.
Okay, fine. I mean, I just said there's a demand for cornerbacks in the NFL.
But it's different from any other team because this guy coached the guy and executed the game plan that mothballed him in the Super Bowl.
Just because Butler can't play for the Patriots doesn't mean he's not a good a fit for another team. It happens all the time.
Danny, why do you keep saying he wasn't a fit for what the Patriots wanted to do? He played in Danny, he played in that system for 4 years. Too bad. You brought it up for us. That's what we're going to talk about. Too bad.
I'll ask you a question, Tony. Why the players are suddenly exiting? Okay, the baseline is this. You had a multitude of players who won a multitude of Super Bowls, who wanted to go pushing the age limit, who wanted to go get paid. And the variables now are this. Tom Brady is now turned on the coach with the owner's backing. That is why there's a mutiny. And that is why we have what's going on. Now, Tony, what I want to know from you is, do you back the players or the coach?
I back the players with their right to leave. I back the coach. Hold on. If you're going to ask me a question, you got to let me answer it.
You didn't get the context of my question, but go ahead.
The players have the right to leave, Danny. They have the right to leave.
I'm not begrudging any of the players for leaving.
Okay,
I'm asking you, there seems to be a glee in your voice and your face when I watch you on TV that the mutiny has now occurred on Belichick because you friggin' hate Belichick. Just admit it.
I don't hate Belichick. No, I don't hate Belichick, Danny.
And put it this way. Do you want Belichick's way of doing things to change, to acquiesce to the players? We want Yoko Bungin now chirping in Tom Brady's ear and Guerrero chirping in Brady's ear about how things should be run? Let me tell you something. You think Tom Brady's going to play for another head coach other than Josh McDaniels? You think he's going to play for another coach, or do you think he would play on another team for another coach? Do you think that?
Danny, the source of this problem is the quarterback. Okay? The source of the problem is the quarterback. And the owners picked the quarterback side, so now you have the coach feeling is always undercut, and there you go. Belichick's methods here worked for a long time. I just find it interesting that when they get to the quarterback, that the team that always says we'll get rid of a guy a year too early and a year too late, the team that always says, you know, we'll move on and we'll put the next guy in, got to the most important position on the field and didn't live up to their own rule.
Yeah, you know why, though, Maz? Because the reason they can do all that with all the other positions is because of that one guy, Tom Brady.
Yeah, that's why.
Human spackle. That's why it works.
I don't need
that's the system.
I don't even need the proverbial gun to my head. Who do I have to pick? It's Brady.
Yes.
I pick Brady. I pick
Brady, too.
The success, it's because of Brady. It was proven in Super Bowl 52, because if you didn't have that quarterback, you'd lose by 50.
They should have kept Garoppolo. They should have kept Garoppolo.
They should have.
Okay, so you're saying, and look, I know you've been consistent on this, but you're saying, so even keep Garoppolo, even if it's at the expense of Brady. Brady gone, Garoppolo stays. Because it was one or the other. You had to choose. You could not keep both of those guys.
You see, I don't believe that. I don't. I believe that you could have kept both. And I don't. You could have franchised Garoppolo.
You could franchise him to trade him, but I don't think you could have, and my opinion on this has changed, so I'll be honest with you on that. I was in your camp for a long time, but looking at the salary cap situation and stuff now, and the way Tom feels, and asking for this extension, and what's going on with Gronk needing to get his money, and where Nate sold, so would you have been okay if Gronk retired because they couldn't pay him, Nate Solder, Amendola, all these guys are out the door, and it's Tom Brady still here, looking for an extension, and you have Garoppolo? You have Garoppolo, but you couldn't afford to do anything with Solder, Amendola, all those guys. You would have been cool with that?
I'm telling you that there's nothing more important than the next quarterback, Chris. That's what I'm telling you.
I know, but that's not quite the same. So you would have been cool with them keeping Garoppolo and Brady and not adding anything to the defense. All these guys are still gone, and that's...
Yeah, I think you're making it sound more dramatic than it is. I think they could have found a way to figure it out. That's what I'm telling you.
$23 million?
Yeah, I do. I do. For a year, I do.
I think it was an either-or they had to choose.
And look, if they hit on the next quarterback, it won't be a problem. If they hit on the next quarterback, great. Everybody's happy. You kept Brady, no problem.
I just think if you have this Garoppolo opinion, then to me, and this is just my opinion, you have to be willing to say, yeah, I wanted Garoppolo in 2018 as a Patriots starting quarterback, even if Brady wasn't here. Because that's the reality of what the choice was.
Yeah, and the reality is I would have done it that way. Yeah,
okay.
But I don't think they were gonna. Okay, so all I know is this. I don't think that they were going to cut ties with Brady. So, to me, find a way to keep Garoppolo. You don't trade him, and you certainly don't trade him for a second round pick.
Well, yeah, that's another discussion. Yeah, okay, but we second agree part on the return.
Yeah, that is it. So that one's easy, though. We all know that. Yeah. But to me, like everyone says, well, nobody franchises a backup quarterback. I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. How many teams are in a situation where the backup quarterback is the guy?
But you also know how they think, right? And so, I know, you know, do you think they would have been cool allocating that much money? Brady gets a new extension, Garoppolo gets the franchise tag, allocating that much money to that one position?
Okay, what I would tell you is that's an unusual circumstance.
I agree, but do you think they would say, okay, yes, we have to do this, this is cool?
But look, the team that loves to pride itself on playing quote-unquote situational football can make a situational decision. Like, this is the part I don't get. Why are you married to this philosophy of what they, and I don't mean you.
No, I understand.
But why does it have to be a certain way when you have the guy that's the heir apparent?
Yeah.
Find a way to figure it out.
But the reality is this, though. If you give that money to Garoppolo, you only have so many resources, so you allocate that money to him. That means that the team around you is weaker somewhere else.
Okay.
You can't have it all, Tony. You can't have Garoppolo on a franchise tag at $24 million and like, oh, now we're going to sign this linebacker and Ndamukong Suh's going to come here. Oh, and the Honey Badger's the new safety. You can't. You keep sort of saying you can work it out. You can work it out to a degree where it's possible, but you can't work it out to where you get your entire wish list.
Okay, so you're not going to get your whole wish list. I'm telling you that the long-term viability of the team at quarterback is more important than anything else.
Okay.
All right, Gasper, while we got you here, I do want to know how concerned you are about the Celtics going forward, what with the news on Marcus Smart today, and if I'm wrong for questioning the intestinal fortitude of one Jason Tatum. We'll do that next after the Hub headlines here with Marshall Hook on Felger and Mazz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. This is Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Tatum's free throw. No good. Rebound volleyed around. Markieff Morris has it. Drives from three-quarters court. Throws it over the backboard. And naturally, because what other way could this game go? We're going to double overtime.
You know, missed shots don't bother me at all. Like, that's just part of the game. You know, at the end of the day, you control what you can control. He made a great play taking it to the basket. You know, I thought he did a lot of good things tonight. So, you know, there's no question. Jason Tatum at the free throw line is something that we all want.
You saw all the good and the bad of 19-year-old kids playing in the NBA. I mean, Jason made some mistakes, but he had some great moments and has a wonderful, wonderful upside. And he's mentally tough and he's very versatile.
Now, I worry about the shot a little bit, if I'm being honest, or at least him at the free throw line. That's Brad Stevens and Danny Ainge on Jason Tatum, who couldn't hit the free throw to ice a win over the Wizards. They end up losing to the Celtics, to the Wizards in double overtime, 125-124.
Big Jim Worry.
Yeah, that's me. I'm living up to the nickname. It's Felger and Mazz, 98.5 of Sports Hub. Yes, Big Jim Worry here in the A-hole chair. We got Chris Gasper alongside as well. I don't take any moral victories out of that game the other night. I don't care if they had 9 players available, Gasper. You blow a 20-point lead, you can't hit a free throw to ice it, Jason Tatum. That's embarrassing. And bad defense at the end there by Marcus Morris, too. And then if you want to get on Tatum in the double overtime, trying to go for a three when you should try to get to the basket or at least draw a foul, like that was just, it was gross. And Jason Tatum specifically starting to bother me a little bit. I'm starting to teeter with him. Yep. You want to say it's
this is
Jim?
This is your guy. I won't trade him for Anthony Davis guy.
And I still wouldn't. And I still think that he can be a 2010 a night guy.
But you're hedging. It's like Jason Tatum's going the way of the C's train.
Well, I just thought that looking at him and with the shot and everything, like I thought he had the ability to be special, you know, a special player. And with that, when I see you tighten up like that in a game like that at the end, like, I don't know. I don't. Can he be an excellent pro? Sure. Ton of upside there. But special?
Yeah. Yes. Thank you. Thanks, Jimmy.
There's the C's train.
There's the C's train. Yeah, the C's.
But your thoughts on the Celtics, Tatum's night the other night, and now the news on Marcus Smart. Surgery on his thumb today. Could return in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully he can return in the playoffs because that bench is already pretty thin. I'm with you. I mean, I don't give him a pass for blowing that Washington game because you built a 20-point lead with 9 guys, and it's unfortunate Tatum missed the free throw. Look, you know, I've always been more of a Jaylen Brown guy. It doesn't mean I don't like Tatum. I'm just not sure that he is Paul Pierce 2.0, and he's a young guy, and we'll see where he goes from there. But I wish, obviously, he would have hit that free throw. But if I have to give him up to get Anthony Davis, especially the way Anthony Davis has played since Boogie Cousins went down, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to give him up for that because I'm not looking at him and saying I'm giving up the next Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, James Harden type of player. I think he can be an all-star in the league, but I'm not sure he's a one, that he's going to be the cornerstone, the best player on the hierarchy of stars, the 1-2-3. I'm not sure he's ever going to be the one.
Murray, you are unbelievable. You are with Jason Tatum. So he one game he flips
no,
out.
No, it's
of
not one game. It's been this thing. It's his handle on layups. It's him at the free throw line. It's him with bad passes and bad basketball IQ. Like trying to go for a three in the end of that double overtime when you didn't even need it. Like there's a little. I get it. He just turned 20. It's his rookie year. Guys are going to take lumps. But I'm sorry for my expectations of what this player is or what he can be. That drives me nuts because I think he can be a special player.
Way too early to write him off for that. I told you.
I'm not writing him off. I'm questioning it. Jeez, you guys, there's no gray area with you or Mike ever.
You're writing him off.
I got to be honest. I'm with Maz on this one. It does kind of sound like you're changing your mind about whether you would move on from him for an established
star. I just said I wouldn't trade him still.
It's your tone, Murray.
The hell with the both of you.
Your tone,
said
son.
You would. You know what? Your words say you wouldn't, but your body language and tone says, yeah, I'm thinking I might do it.
I hate you both. Right?
we specialize in body language and tone on this
right.
program, in case you haven't figured that
See,
out.
See, I'm thinking it's more that you're just firmly planted on the fence. This way you can win in either way.
You know what it
Because at this point you're planting your flag in Mount Doubt.
Comes with that chair, Marshall.
Yeah, I definitely am a fence sitter right now, much like the guy who's normally sitting here.
Murray, you're becoming a point guard all of a sudden.
Chris, your expectations change for this team in terms of the playoffs, though, with this smart news and all the injuries?
To me, the East is still wide open. You know I'm not buying Toronto, and I think Toronto's biggest strength is sort of one of the biggest weaknesses of the Celtics, which is the bench, but I think that doesn't come into play as much in the playoffs. I just don't think those bench guys like Fred VanVleet and CJ Miles will perform at the same level in the playoffs for Toronto, and I think, like I said, rotations get shortened, and Maz has said this on the show today, the defense gets better. Some of those shots are harder to get. You see Cleveland, still stumbling a little bit here. Let's see what happens when they get Kevin Love back.
Oh, did you see the beef between LeBron and Ty Lue on the bench last night?
I actually did not. I saw his monster dunk.
It's amazing. So they ended up losing a heartbreaker to Portland last night. But at the end, like, it's not just a little bit of a miscommunication or, hey, we're going to try to get on the same page and we're just, going at each other a little bit. Like, it's like your parents yelling at each other type stuff. Oh,
really?
Coming apart. It really is.
Yeah. Well, it's only a matter of time before. I mean, they've changed all the players besides LeBron. It's only a matter of time before they get around to pointing the finger at the coach. But when you look at, I look at the East, it's still wide open. So even without Tice there, as long as Kyrie Irving and Al Horford are healthy, and you know how I feel, I think at some point here, I'm still not writing off the Gordon Hayward thing. Maybe Gordon Hayward and Marcus Smart ride to the rescue in the Eastern Conference semifinals or something. I'm still in on the Celtics.
I'm chuckling to myself because he mentioned Tice.
He's important for the bench.
Oh, please. Stop it, will you?
Their bench is so thin.
If the Daniel Tice injury is what takes them down, they got much bigger problems. Much bigger problems.
You're not worried about the bench?
Daniel Tice?
Do you know what show you're sitting on right now?
Because they lost Daniel Tice, that's going to undo them?
Well, they lost Smart, too. So who are the
bench? Okay, so Smart, I'll give you.
So who are the bench guys you can count on?
Smart, I'll give you. Tice?
But who are the bench guys?
Tice! Come on, Chris.
Terry Rozier, right?
Is Daniel Tice even going to smell the floor in a playoff game?
Yes.
Yeah. Of course he is. Did you not watch Jonas Jerebko start playoff games here for Brad Stevens the last couple of years?
Significant minutes I'm talking about. Significant minutes for Daniel Tice. No way.
You missed the whole Jonas Jerebko era, apparently.
Well, in case you haven't noticed, guess who's back? Maz.
Daniel Tice.
Celtics back in action tonight, by the way. They're taking on the Orlando Magic. You can catch the call here with Sean Grandy and Cedric Maxwell at 7 o'clock.
Best contract in the NBA.
Oh, that's great.
Long commercial-free segment. We'll run through your calls. A lot of Patriots calls hanging here. We'll get to that next here with Chris Gasper and Felger and Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Felger and Maz.
They're more scared of you than you are of them.
98.5 The Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub. We'll go to Scott in the car. You're next here on Felger and Maz with Casper.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to touch base on how much I think Brady is more responsible for these guys leading than people let on. This system always worked because Brady bought into it. And over the last year or so, he's been building the TB12 brand. Now, if I'm people like Danny Amendola, why am I going to sit around and keep taking less money so Brady can build his brand and plan for retirement? I'm getting into my twilight years, too. I need to get paid now. And I think it's on Brady. They're looking at Brady and saying, he's not buying in anymore. He's now using this as a vehicle for the rest of his life. I need to get paid, too. Why am I the only one taking the pay cut?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good point about the system working because Brady bought in, because they would be able to use him and his contract as a cudgel. They'd say, well, if the greatest quarterback in the game is going to take less, then you can take less, too. But the way he sort of takes that theory and then says, oh, Danny Amendola is like, screw Tom Brady. No. I mean, Danny Amendola, as you mentioned, one of the Montana guys. I don't think that Danny's like, oh, screw Tom Brady. I'm sure that he had Brady's blessing at the end of the day to take this contract. And if you're Amendola and they've asked you to take pay cut after pay cut and you bailed the team out in the AFC Championship game, bailed them out in the playoffs, and you look at what's going on in this wide receiver market, and you're dating Olivia Culpo, I'll throw in there, and this is your last bite at the apple, and you have Brady's blessing, you're going to go get paid.
See, to me, it's got more to do with Brady being able to cut the legs off of Belichick. Like, you know, it's not about, you know, Tom's doing it. How come, you know, I think it affects the power structure in Foxborough. Once Brady is able to appeal to the owner and say, this is what I want, and the owner sides with him, Bill doesn't have leverage over the players anymore. I think it opens the door for other guys to say, well, you know what? I'm going to get some money. I want money.
But what about the Gronk social media message to Amendola? You know, be free, be happy. Was that just Gronk speaking solely about himself, or was that...
No, because Tom followed it up with, what did he say? I'm paraphrasing here.
Well said,
Gronk. Well said,
Gronk. But
I'm saying...
The emojis, like, yes, yes.
But, you know, Amendola has done the Guerrero thing. Amendola's close with Brady, close with Gronk. So were those guys just projecting their own unhappiness on Amendola, or do they know that maybe he wasn't thrilled there either?
Oh, no, maybe he wasn't thrilled there either.
No, both.
Okay.
Well, because look at the end of the Tom vs. Time video, Chris. You have the thing with him and Giselle saying, what are you doing this for? You know, and you want to be appreciated.
Yeah.
And if Brady were happy, why would those things even come up?
No, but I'm talking about Amendola.
No, but my point is, you said on the post,
yeah,
you know, were they saying Amendola, they knew he wasn't happy, or they were projecting their own thing?
Yeah.
And I said both.
Okay, I understand what you're saying, yep.
I think it's both. Yeah. I think that Amendola probably was unhappy. He probably said, I've made enough sacrifices.
He probably, you know, felt not appreciated.
Pete and Pembroke, you're next here on Felger and Mass.
Hey, guys. I just had a question about what you guys thought of if Ndamukong Suh and Tyrann Mathieu were a good fit for the Pats, and if there was a chance that the Pats would even have to get them.
Ndamukong Suh and Walter Mathieu in the Patriots secondary. Tyrann Mathieu I would take in a heartbeat, and I also think it would kind of solve some of their issues at linebacker. Like, I think he's certainly better than Pat Chung, who I think maybe has a year left.
Yeah,
either way.
Patrick Chung can be a free agent after this coming season.
I would love Tyrann Mathieu on this team. Ndamukong Suh, look, all the talent in the world. I think he's too big of an a-hole. I'm good.
Yeah, I agree with Murray on that. I'm out on Sue and on Tyrann Mathieu.
There's no shot of them getting Sue, is there?
Oh, I don't know. I mean...
Well, I don't know. It just doesn't feel like a Belichick kind of guy.
Well, they're going to give that Jimmy Garoppolo franchise money to Sue, Mass.
Don't forget what Sue said. He said he wanted to go to the highest bidder regardless of fit with the team.
That's the greatest thing ever.
At least the guy's honest.
Regardless of team or fit.
How many players feed you a line of crap and then take the money?
Hey, I don't fit on this team, but these paychecks fit in my pocket. I'm good.
Tony, earlier in the week, we had a report from the Finsiders down in Miami, which is the equivalent of what Jim Murray does for Patriots.com, say that the
high credibility, obviously, yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, you know what? It's gossip. It's not our problem. It's theirs. That the Patriots were trying to get the money to get Sue.
Finsider?
Finsider.
Yes, the Finsider.
Okay,
that's with a
go.
PH.
Yeah.
Jack in the Car, you're next here on Felger and Maz on an Agenda Free Friday.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
You know, you're so dismissive over this whole, you know, groundswell of people who think that Belichick needs to go. You're always talking about how Belichick lets people go a year early instead of a year late. Kraft needs to let Belichick go a year early instead of a year late. This guy is destroying the franchise right now.
Well, Jack, what's the biggest issue that you have with him right now? Is it the return on Garoppolo? Is it the decision of Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl? Like, what's the why do you want him out so fast?
He's blowing the drafts left and right. He hasn't had a good draft in 4 or 5 years, I think. The Malcolm Butler decision is terrible. And then on top of that, you got the Garoppolo trade where he doesn't call around on anything. I mean, this is getting ridiculous.
Hey, there's things, and Jack, thanks for the call. Look, the return on Garoppolo, I'm with you. That I'll be mad about until my dying day, and the same with the decision to bench Butler in Super Bowl 52. But more often than not, he gets the decisions right. The drafts, I think, I don't know, look, you want to be mad about Cyrus Jones as your first pick that you made a couple of seasons ago. All right, you blew it there, but...
They do need some more impact players, and I've said this, they need to get some impact players in the first couple of rounds. I mean, don't get me wrong, Trey Flowers is a great player. Nice find in the fourth round, but what's going on with these picks in the first, second, third round?
And you said this the other day, so overall, like, you didn't need for them, Chris, to make a big splash in this offseason in terms of free agency, yeah. But you do think that this is a very important draft.
I think it's a really important draft. They need to get some impact guys out of this draft. They need to go back and get guys like in 2012 when they got Chandler Jones and Dante Hightower, or get somebody who's like Jamie Collins caliber. You got to get some real impact guys, I think, difference makers. I mean, they're very good at finding starters in the draft. You can't, I mean, I know Bedard loves this guy, Joe Tooney, but you know, Joe Tooney's a good player. He's a starter. He's good. But is he a difference maker?
No.
If you put Ted Karras in there, does that change whether you go to the AFC title game or not?
No.
No. So that's sort of my point. It's like, yeah, you can find, as you would say, the coggiest of cogs, but now I need some difference makers. You know, you got to find those guys. They're not getting difference makers in the draft, at least up high the last couple of years. They got to do that this year.
Well, then on top of it, last year they traded away so many picks. You know, between Coney Yealy and Brandon Cooks and...
Well, those guys all counted as draft picks until they didn't work out, man.
Right, Dwayne Allen on top of it. Cassius Marsh, he traded a fifth. Did they trade a fifth for him?
And
fifth and a seventh. Two picks.
That's actually in this coming draft, right? That wasn't the last year's draft?
Yeah, still, it helps my argument.
But even so...
Yes, it's in this. Those were in this coming draft.
But the point is it does feel like, with regard to the longer term, that Belichick has been a little reckless. Now, I'm not ready to fire the guy the way that the caller is, but he's had a stretch here where between decisions on the field, some of the personnel decisions last offseason, he's in a little bit of a rut. And it feels to me like a couple of the key guys in his locker room aren't necessarily making life easy for him anymore.
And with that, we will bid you adieu, Chris. I'll see you tomorrow morning, 11 to 2. We have a full Gaspar Murray here on 98.5 of Sports Hub, Sports Hub Celtic show as well.
Are you going to wear this St. Patrick's Day get up tomorrow as well?
Yes, yeah. For those not watching on the simulcast on NBC Sports Boston, I have a green shirt and a Celtics hat on today because I am half Irish, thus the name Murray, and I'm celebrating St. Patrick's Day.
Most overrated holiday ever, Murray. Stupid holiday, too, if you ask me, but that's another story.
You're in a great mood,
I am not shocked that you do not like St. Patrick's
Day. It's amateur hour.
No, New Year's Eve is amateur hour.
They're both amateur hours.
I agree. Thank you, Jimmy.
All right, Gasper, always a pleasure. I'll see you tomorrow morning.
Yeah, there's a lot of love and fun. A lot of sunshine in this room right now.
Mass has come in hot today. Hot and
dude,
now,
I came back kind of bitter. I don't know why.
And now angry
I should have never worked today.
Agreed.
No commercials here, and it's an agenda-free Friday. We'll go right to your calls after the Hub headlines here with Marshall Hook. He will get you caught up with what's going on with Marcus Smart. He underwent surgery today on his hand, and some of the scores in the NCAA tournament. And right after that, right to you here, Agenda Free Friday, Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.